Hello and welcome to the Podcast Review Podcast. I'm your host, David Elder, an associate professor of writing and rhetoric at Morningside College. Every week on the podcast, I will review a different podcast and talk about its usefulness in a college classroom. This week, I'm reviewing NPR's Planet Money. However, before I get to my review, I want to talk a bit about how I use podcasts in the classroom. A listener and colleague, Jeff Harkness, contacted me and asked if I could go into detail about the practical side of using podcasts as course readings. I found that the most important thing to do is just describe to students what a podcast is and how they can listen to it. Most podcasts can be found on iTunes or Stitcher. If you're going to require students to listen to a podcast for an entire semester, it'll be easiest to ask them to subscribe to the podcast, which can be done through any podcasting app, even the terrible free one that comes with iOS on iPhones. Personally, I use a podcasting app called Downcast, which costs $2.99 in the App Store. It crashes less, has fewer bugs, and is much more customizable for user preference than the podcast app from Apple. However, if students are only going to listen to podcasts for a class, the Apple Podcast is perfectly serviceable. On Android phones, Stitcher is the app that students will want in order to subscribe to a podcast. It's free and very user-friendly. It might not have all the bells and whistles of Pocket Cast or Beyond Pod, but it's free. Every student I taught last semester had a smartphone, but that's not always going to be the case. However, because of the technical aspects of how you get your podcast onto iTunes, every podcast can also be found on a website. Students will have to listen to a live stream and sit at their computer for this option instead of downloading the podcast and taking it on the go, but they can still listen to it either on the show's website or directly from iTunes on their computer. All of that was probably pretty boring for most of you, because you're listening to a podcast about podcasts, and you most likely know a lot of that, but I wanted to cover my bases and make sure I'm not assuming anything about someone who's thinking about using a podcast in the classroom. As for how I actually use the podcast for educational purposes, I treat the podcast just like any other reading. If I'm using backlog episodes of a podcast, I can assign specific episodes just like I'd assign any reading. Then we can discuss them in class, students write about them, and they can use them as a source for their papers. Now, a quick aside on that. If you want to have students cite podcasts, most major citation styles have a method for doing so. Search the APA Style blog or the online Chicago Manual of Style. MLA is much harder to track down, but a Google search for citing podcasts in MLA gives a few suggestions. The MLA is coming out with the 8th edition of its style guide in April, and I'm hoping they give a definitive answer to the citation question then. However, in researching for this episode, I decided to just contact someone from the MLA directly and received some information. If students listen to the podcast on a website, then it should be cited as with any other website. However, if it was downloaded through iTunes, Nikki Agate from the MLA said, quote, "The entire entry should contain as many of the facts as you cite for a website as possible. Some may not be relevant or may have to be adjusted. For instance, instead of citing the publisher of the site, you might identify the company that published the podcast, if any. The medium of publication becomes audiophile rather than web." So back to the logistics of how to use a podcast as a reading. I require students to take notes while they listen to the podcast to assure that the podcast had their full attention. Personally, when listening to a podcast for fun, I listen while walking to work, doing chores around the house, or doing some other mundane task. However, I wanted to make sure students gave the podcast the same kind of attention they would give a reading, so I had them take notes and regularly turn them in for small amounts of points. That's more micromanaging than I prefer to do in a classroom, but the students didn't generally seem to mind getting a few points for something that many of them do anyway. Assigning a podcast as a reading is really easy if you're using previously recorded episodes. However, I learned the hard way this past semester that having students subscribe to an active podcast and asking them to listen to newly recorded episodes keeps you on your toes as a teacher. I'll talk more about that as I get into the review of Planet Money. So, first of all, I want to say that in the future, I plan to review a bit more obscure podcasts than Planet Money, which is currently number 10 on the iTunes top podcast list. It's a popular podcast, according to the mystical metrics from Apple, as is anything that NPR puts out. However, this is a podcast that I have actually used in the classroom, and it worked out really well. I'm taking the easy way out on this one, but I think it's important for me to do so because Planet Money is the first podcast that has completely taken the place of one of the course books for my classroom. There are two new episodes of Planet Money every week, on Wednesdays and Fridays, and I required my students to listen to the Friday episode every week. The topic of the podcast might sound a bit odd as required reading coming from a writing teacher, but the school where I work has themed writing courses, and the theme I used for one of my first-year seminar classes last fall was money. One of the reasons I decided to use the podcast instead of a book was that Planet Money does an excellent job of making complex economical issues easy to understand. The About page on the Planet Money website says, quote, "Imagine you could call up a friend and say, 'Meet me at the bar and tell me what's going on with the economy.' Now imagine that's actually fun," end quote. That's exactly how I feel when I listen to Planet Money, and I've been listening for years, so the hosts almost do seem like friends of mine at this point, which I realize sounds kind of sad. So Planet Money has more regular hosts than most podcasts. The current hosts are Robert Smith, David Kestenbaum, Jacob Goldstein, Stacey Vanek Smith, and Steve Henn. Many of the former hosts of Planet Money followed Alex Bloomberg, also a former host, to Bloomberg's podcast company Gimlet, which also produces great podcasts. The current hosts are all excellent journalists, and they usually appear on the podcast in pairs. In other words, you won't hear from all the hosts in every episode. All of them have long careers in journalistic endeavors, and they have lots of experience covering economic issues. The podcast was created after the economic collapse of 2008, in part, to explain the inner workings of the collapse in a way that even a writing teacher could understand. In addition to the podcast, the group also contributes regularly to other NPR programs like Morning Edition and This American Life, consistently the most popular podcast on iTunes. Since 2008, the group has tackled all things money-related, from large-scale global economic crises to, just last week, people who refuse to use banks and act sort of like banks for their friends, loaning money or holding money for friends who are prone to spend needlessly. The range of topics is one of the things that keeps the listener interested, and keeping listeners interested is not an easy task over the course of almost 700 episodes. The episodes range widely in their topic, but it is always connected to money, and they generally keep the episodes around 20 minutes, which was perfect for my first-year students. However, for me, not knowing that what the podcast was going to be about was difficult for me as a teacher. Every weekend, while planning for class on Monday, I was forced to incorporate whatever the producers wanted to talk about that Friday into the classroom. I enjoyed the immediacy and timeliness of the subject matter, but I really had to keep up as far as how to direct discussion every Monday. The students loved it, though, for a lot of different reasons. Now, I'll be honest, the biggest reason they liked the podcast was that it was a 20-minute podcast, and that takes a lot less time than the typical readings for the class, or any class in college, really. However, when we got past the surface-level reason for liking it, the students actually expressed a lot of interest in the topics. Like I said earlier, the hosts made the show very accessible for my first-year students, and students were surprised to be entertained by economic subjects. Also, the students loved how timely the topics were. Most of the first-year students I teach admit to not being too involved with current affairs, and they learned a lot about the economy and current matters involving money by listening to the podcast. However, I was surprised that their favorite episodes were the ones we listened to where the hosts dug into history. The students really liked episode 658, titled Strike One, about the birth of unions in the U.S., and episode 664, titled The Great Inflation, about how the government tried to stop rampant inflation in the 70s. And you know they do a good job of making subjects entertaining when those were two of my students' favorite episodes. Planet Money was really useful to me in a specifically themed first-year seminar course about money. However, I can see the podcast being useful for many different types of classes around college campuses. There's one episode in particular that I think could be of interest to any college student, and that's episode 485, What's Your Major?, where they look into the economic impact of choosing a major in college, and their conclusion is that to future earnings, choosing a major is actually more important than choosing a college. Now, the most obvious type of class for using this podcast would be a business or economics class. Duh. But I think it could be used in interesting ways in those types of classes. For example, the backlog of over 600 podcasts means that Planet Money has covered a wide range of topics. When students learn basic business, management, or economic principles, some of these podcasts could be used to supplement the course reading found in the textbook. When discussing something related to job creation or human resources, you could pair the course readings with episodes like 625, The Last Job, or 622, Humans vs. Robots. Both of these episodes were part of a really interesting series of episodes where Planet Money did a deep dive into the economic impact robots have had on the economy and the workforce. Another interesting series that they ran during episodes throughout the fourth season, but really specifically from episode 496 to 503, where the hosts decide to sell a Planet Money t-shirt and then follow the shirts on literally every step of the production process, from the farms that provide the cotton to a clothing factory in Bangladesh to the shipping container taking the shirts to Miami. It's a great breakdown of the entire production process that could easily help students understand the global market. Or, I know Microsoft Excel is a constant source of frustration for undergrad business majors, so you could use episode 606, Spreadsheets! There's an exclamation point at the end of the title. You could use it to show them why Excel isn't so bad, at least when compared to using paper spreadsheets. It's a history of the spreadsheet, which sounds really boring, but once again, the hosts work their magic and make such a mundane topic interesting. I could also see a lot of these podcasts being relevant or at least interesting to a computer science course. One of my favorite episodes of the entire podcast run was episode 621, When Luddites Attack. It gives, as they say, the true story of the Luddites, and it's fascinating. I realize just now that most of the examples I've given of the show are from season 6. It's been a really good year. While reviewing the show for the podcast and while using it as a course text last semester, I was reminded just how interdisciplinary the show is. And that's one of the reasons I chose money for the theme of my first year seminar class. Money interacts with everything. There are plenty of episodes about how money impacts politics and vice versa that could really be helpful to a political science class. And there's episodes like that that could just be helpful throughout the entire college campus. Obviously, I love this podcast. However, I do have a couple criticisms. The first and most severe criticism I have is one that can be leveled against NPR as a whole. The staff of the podcast is not very diverse. However, the hosts mitigate this somewhat by bringing in many different perspectives on the economy, and their interview subjects and sources are much more diverse than the hosts. Another problem I have with the podcast is that it's so short. I know that their production schedule and all the different ways this group disseminates its information through the podcast, the NPR radio shows, and This American Life make it difficult to make an hour-long or even half-an-hour show twice a week, but I have never found myself saying, "Stop! There's nothing more to cover here." I could listen to at least 10 more minutes on every subject they've covered. This isn't to say that the podcast only digs into each subject on a surface level. They do a wonderful job of going deep into every topic and showing many facets of each subject. However, I've always thought that more information on most of their topics would be welcome. Finally, it saddens me that not every episode of the podcast is available on the website or through iTunes. The library only goes back to episode 448 on iTunes and the Planet Money website. You can find some of their older episodes in there because they rerun an old episode every once in a while, but the entire library isn't accessible. I know that the storage and streaming of all those episodes would take a lot of bandwidth, but it's just sad that the treasure trove of good information in all the previous episodes isn't still available. Having said all that, I think these criticisms shouldn't be enough to dissuade anyone from using the podcast in the classroom. I find it to be incredibly engaging, both for me and for the students, and the journalists who host the podcast have a lot of integrity in their reporting. As a source, I would be happy for students to use this in a research paper because of how thoroughly every topic is researched and how well each subject is reported. And that wraps up today's episode. As always, I want to thank you for listening. If you have feedback about the podcast, you can reach me on Twitter at David E. Elder. One thing you might have noticed about the podcast this week is that we have a logo. I want to thank Vaughn Donahue, owner of the design firm Destination Graphic. If you like what you see in my logo or just need the design services of a talented graphic and web designer, go to www.destinationgraphic.com. Finally, Zach and I have worked out a production schedule, and we hope to record a new episode Thursday and get the episode out either Thursday afternoon or Friday morning. Signing off, I'm your host, David Elder, saying, sorry, Joel, maybe next time. The Podcast Review Podcast is produced by Zach Schenecker.